Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity. I'm Greg Corumbus. We've got good news, bad news, and just crazy news for conservatives, and we really do mean that on all three fronts today. Let's start with the good news, as we always do. And Jim, you know, we've been on the one hand, being proud of congressional Republicans for standing firm on the spending, at the same time wringing our hands a little bit, worried that the way the mainstream media plays a potential government shutdown could work against us. The way we've seen the people respond in various states to governors taking serious fiscal disciplinary action has not necessarily gone all that well. So we're a little bit worried about the political impact of a government shutdown. But one of the things Democrats have worked overtime doing here is painting not only the Republicans as extreme, but saying that the Tea Party has hijacked the Republican Party, that Boehner really wants to cut a deal here, but he's beholden to the Tea Party and knows he's going to fracture his caucus if he goes along with what the Democrats are trying to compromise on here. In speaking, though, with ABC's George Stephanopoulos, Boehner made it very clear all of that is just a bunch of malarkey.
Listen, there's no daylight between the Tea Party and me.
None?
None. They want us to deal with this crushing debt that's going to crush the future for our kids and grandkids. There's no daylight there.
So again, it could eventually play poorly for the Republicans, and certain opinion polls suggest that congressional Republicans would take the biggest share of the blame here compared to congressional Democrats and the president. But at least for those who are concerned about the nation's fiscal future, it looks as though Boehner gets it, at least in rhetoric, if not entirely in policy. But he claims that he agrees with them on policy, and that's got to be a good thing.
Yeah, I think what impresses me most is this tactic by Boehner of saying we want a one-week extension and to fund the military for the rest of the year. Because I think on the, you know, probably the aspect of the shutdown that is most morally problematic is this notion that, you know, the troops would get pay for 1 week because we're halfway through a pay period on Friday, and then it would stop. And whenever the government picks up activity again, they would get their, you know, back pay for what they were owed. But, you know, there are a lot of military families that are kind of, you know, we're counting on their already not overwhelming pay coming in on its regular schedule. This is something I think it's safe to say almost everybody doesn't want to see happen. On the other hand, since the Democrats are convinced that they win in a government shutdown, they probably love the more horrific the consequence, the possible, so they can blame this on the Republicans. So here is Boehner putting forward a, let's, you know, 1 week extension. Let's take care of the Defense Department. Let's make sure that's not an issue. Apparently, he recently said we have to do this because we're in our third war, or as the Obama administration likes to call it, our third kinetic military action. I think that's a good offer to put on the table. And if the Democrats really want to, you know, Reid says he's not even going to bring that to a vote. I would say if the American people don't see through that, Greg, I'm very worried about the country. I think that, you know, tactically, Boehner is playing this pretty darn well. And we'll have to see how this shakes out. Maybe by the time people listen to this, they'll be closer to an answer. But my sense is this is a, you know, he's handling the tactics of this about as well as we could hope for.
The Democrats, of course, tried to paint the Republicans as the party of no throughout the previous Congress. And all you've heard from Democrats in the House or Senate, where Democrats actually control the Senate, is no. They've actually put forth nothing other than the Senate Democrats' very lame bill suggesting $4 billion in cuts over the rest of the fiscal year, which even most of their own caucus thought was too pathetic to vote for. And so they didn't.
Yeah, we should, you know, put in perspective, my understanding is if you look at every single office in the entire federal government, you look at every sofa and you look behind the cushions, you get $4 billion in change. That's how little the amount of money is.
Exactly right. So on to martini number two now. And this is our bad martini for the day because, you know, we just heard the president, I guess it was either Monday or Tuesday in the White House briefing room, saying that I'm engaged here. I don't want to be, but I have to be engaged here. I have to play referee. It's not my job, even though it is. I'm going to be here as long as it takes to get this done right after I get back from these series of trips I take to Pennsylvania and New York. So it was New York on Wednesday that the president was visiting to spend some time with Al Sharpton and his action group up in New York. And the president trying to once again appeal to folks based on what he sees as his commonness with the rest of the American people.
And it's true, I don't pump gas now, but I remember what it was like pumping gas. I remember.
Well, there you go, Jim. He knows what it's like to pump gas. It's only been a few years since he's done that. He also mentioned that he used to do his taxes. So, you know, he's one of us.
Yeah, that was the line that got me. We're about a week away from taxes being due, and I'm going through mine and not particularly enjoying it. And we all know that very few lawmakers do their own taxes anymore. Increasingly fewer and fewer Americans do it, or at least they rely on a Tim Geithner's endorsed TurboTax. You know, that's what helped him find all of those great deductions that aren't legal. If I were the president of the United States, I'd be avoiding talking about how I don't do these things anymore. And he says, well, I remember. Greg, you think that probably was like mid-2004? I mean, certainly since he joined the Senate, I don't think he's pumped any gas.
Oh, probably not.
And Mike, you know, he began really running almost full time in 2003. So we're looking in the neighborhood of like 8 years since Obama's pumped his own gas. So, and you know, my guess is, what were they, like $2 a gallon then? The good old days. Nobody was complaining then. But, you know, those are the bad old days. That's when we had an oil man in the White House, and things were terrible then, Greg.
That's right, yeah. Because we were all beholden to big oil.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to go finish my taxes here after paying $50 to fill up my car.
Well, yeah.
Now that things are so much better, Mr. President. Thank you for the hope and change.
That's right. Well, while the president has other people worry about that documentation, on to number three now, because Donald Trump continues his crusade to find out whether the president really is entitled to be the president, because, of course, Donald Trump has become the leading face now of those questioning the president's legitimacy under the constitutional grounds to be a president. The whole controversy over the president's birth certificate, which apparently no one has seen the original one. There's the copy that folks have passed around from the last campaign, and so a lot of people say, there's your proof. Other people say, no, that's not the real proof. But Donald Trump, definitely the leader now of this crusade. And here's what he told Meredith Vieira on the Today Show.
Why wouldn't he just solve it? And I wish he would, because if he doesn't, it's one of the greatest scams in the history of politics and in the history, period.
Well, you suggest
you are not allowed to be a president if you're not born in this country. He may not have been born in this country. And I'll tell you what, 3 weeks ago, I thought he was born in this country. Right now, I have some real doubts.
Doubts to the point that he's now got special investigators looking into this, some of whom are actually in Hawaii trying to dig it all up. And Jim, the interesting thing about Trump is he's pretty hard for the media to ignore. So the more he talks about this, the more it's out there. And I don't know if he's giving it more legitimacy or not, but it's definitely getting more attention, I think, than it ever did before.
Yeah, you know, Greg, you know that I'm not really a fan of Donald Trump, but I will give him credit for a couple of things here. First of all, I wish every candidate running for president could answer as bluntly and directly as Trump does. And, you know, he doesn't do any mealy-mouthed words. He's just kind of very blunt. Like, well, what's wrong with the president? Why isn't he coming out and giving, you know, showing it to us? What the heck is there to hide? He seems, you know, appropriately exasperated, appropriately curious, appropriately bewildered at something that should be very sensible isn't very sensible. And I think there's a part of me that feels like I'm very skeptical that anything would come of this investigation. I don't think that the young Obama Dunham family decided to put in a fake birth announcement in the Honolulu Advertiser back in 1960 or 1961. But in the unlikely chance that Obama really was born in Kenya and somehow smuggled over here and this has all been a grand plot, well, one, I'm glad that Donald Trump is paying for the money for the investigation. And in the unlikely chance that this actually – that there is something there worth finding, now that – you know, Trump has kind of committed himself to this, to be, you know, kind of the chief investigator. We should be playing, you know, Toto's Africa in the background to as theme music. If there's something there, I don't have much doubt he'll find it. And if there is, you know, then he can, you know, take a he'll get a hit. And if it ends up – it's much better that he get really obsessed with this than, say, anyone who's more seriously, you know, associated with the Republican cause or conservative cause. The other thing I would notice, I think kind of the apoliticalness of – Trump. This is a guy who's written, you know, fawning letters to Nancy Pelosi and written checks to Chuck Schumer. Look, Americans know that, like, Donald Trump is not a right-wing partisan, that he's a, you know, maniacally egomaniacal, to be a little redundant there, you know, entrepreneur who wants to put his name on everything, who wants to put his name on hotels and casinos and luxury apartment buildings and board games and neckties and NBC's lineup and do all these things. But so if this is not some guy who's got this insane axe to grind, he, you know, I'm sure he just kind of came as a question to him and he wants to get to the bottom of it. Now, my guess is he won't find anything particularly interesting, but you know what? Hey, you know, Donald, go for it. And who knows? Maybe he finds the evidence Obama's born in Kenya and we have a giant constitutional crisis. I'm not betting on that scenario, but hey, you know what? Good luck, Donald. I'm sure, like Tommy Lee Jones and The Fugitive, you'll get to the bottom of this.
Exactly. I agree with just about everything you said there. I think it's good for, like you said, the more common names, the more expected names to be in the race to not have to take the political bullets on this one. He can do it. And, you know, I'm certainly no Donald Trump fan. I don't think I would consider voting for him. But whether it's his activity on this issue or something else. He's now in second place in New Hampshire. So if he actually does get in this race, which I still think he won't, because I think it's a giant publicity stunt, maybe he's not just a celebrity candidate after all. It's almost a little bit scary that he's that close to Mitt Romney and only Mike Huckabee is anywhere close to him. And we're pretty sure he's not going to run either. So very interesting.
Well, Greg, to tout the fine work of the campaign spot, just be a little wary of that. I have no doubt that Trump is enjoying a surge. He already has very high name ID. The margin for error on the Republican subsample in of the Wall Street Journal poll is 6.35%, and the numbers amongst Tea Partiers are 8.5%. So that's a little bit higher than I like to see. It doesn't mean that Trump's not jumping up a bit. It just means you should take those numbers with a slightly larger grain of salt than usual.
Yeah, everything he says seems to get headlines. We'll see how that plays out for the rest of this campaign. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.